Amen. Amen. Let us open in prayer. Lord, I just thank you. Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you on this bitter cold day. God, but there's a reason that you created cold. There's a reason that you have the seasons, and we just say thank you. But God, this morning, I ask that you just be with us. Lord, that your empowering presence be here in this place. Lord, and those who are listening online, God, I ask that you just bless us. Lord, that any distractions, anything that would take our minds and our hearts away, God, I ask that you take it away now. Lord, help me to speak with clarity. Help me to communicate with clarity. Help us to hear, God. Lord, let your word speak to us. Let your word transform us, renew us, sanctify us. Call us home to you. I just pray now that you just be with us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Our passage this morning is found in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 17. I'm going to go ahead and read. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them, and they cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified in this, that you bear much fruit. And so prove to be my disciples, just as the Father has loved me, and I have loved you, abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give you. This I command you, that you love one another.
Amen.
I've entitled the message this morning, our connection to Jesus changes us. Let me tell you a story about a young man. He went to his friend's house. He spent the night. He woke up in the morning and the car didn't start. So being young men, they decided they were going to go work on the car. They got up under the hood and they're digging around for a while and they're trying different things. And the friend says, well, maybe one of the fuses went out. So they go to the auto store and they start buying fuses and replacing them. Car still doesn't turn on. Friend says, well, I bet it's the starter. So they go to the auto store and they buy a new starter and they put it in. Still nothing. And they're digging around, and finally he calls his dad, and they go back to the auto store and they replace something else. At this point, he's several hundred dollars into a replacement. And the dad shows up. He says, "Open up the trunk." So they open up the trunk. He's looking around and he starts to laugh. He said, "Oh, son, you've done a very simple thing." And he picked up the battery cable that had slipped off. And he says, "Son, the car won't run if it's not connected to the battery." And it's the same thing for us as Christians. We don't run right if we're not connected to Jesus.
Amen.
So, first point this morning is stay connected to Jesus. Stay connected to Jesus. Now, look here. One of the interesting things that Jesus does is he makes the analogy. He says, "I am the vine." Okay, so Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. We understand this, okay? So if you think, and he's using the example of like viticulture or winemaking. And so he's using the example of a grapevine. And he's saying, "I am the vine, okay? And because I'm the vine, I'm the one who provides nutrients to you. And you are the branches that go out and you will bear the fruit. You're the one who will, on your branches, you will produce the grapes, okay? But the nutrients must come through me. The water must flow through me. The nutrients that come out of the ground must flow from me to you." And he says, "You're the branches." Then he also makes one more analogy. He said, "But my father," he says, "my father is the vine dresser." Anyone ever been here to a vineyard? All right, good. Y'all are sanctified, right? Yeah, no, yeah, they're gonna do such things. I used to insure farms, and so I would insure vineyards. And one of the interesting things is they take great care to these things. These things aren't growing wild. You would think they would let them grow and produce as many grapes as possible, but that's not what they want. They're gonna get rid of the weak branches, the branches that are not connected. Why? Because they want the grapes that are on the good branches to produce the best grapes, the biggest grapes, the luscious, most juiciest grapes. And so they're going to prune it so that they can the good branches will produce the best grapes possible. And so you're going to look at this vine and it doesn't have a ton of branches on it, and it doesn't you'd think that it would grow more. And so they have all kinds of these, just rows and rows of different vines and branches. But the vine dresser, he comes and he prunes it away. And we know then the same thing that if you have a tree, that you'll prune away the dead branches, you'll prune away the unhealthy branches. But stay connected to Jesus. So by staying connected to Jesus, we do a couple things. First off, by staying connected to Jesus, we produce good works. You look at verse 5 and 16, it says, "I'm the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much, much fruit." Okay, so if you're connected to Jesus, that you're going to bear much fruit. But look what else he says. "But if you," he says, "for apart from me, you can do nothing." Apart from me, you can do nothing. It's like someone has taken the battery cable off. The car doesn't run. You're not going to be able to produce fruit because the only way that you produce fruit is by being connected to Jesus. Just in the same way that that vine brings the water out to the branches, it brings all the nutrients and all the minerals that make it a healthy branch and to produce the grapes and to turn into grapes that are edible and they're good and all of this stuff, that you have to be connected to him. And the only way that you produce good works, it talks about fruit, but really it's Jesus is using this as an example. He's saying, if you want to, now let me preface. So there's good works and there's God works. We're really talking about God works here, okay? It's good. You can do a lot of good works, but he's saying, if you want to do good for the kingdom, if you want to change your world, you want to do what's right and honor me, that you have to be connected to me. So here's the problem. Some of us, our connection to Jesus It's not, you're like a branch. It's not very healthy. It's maybe broken a little bit. And so maybe only 40% of it's getting through. And so you're not the healthiest branch. And so a lot of our branches aren't healthy because we're not connected to Jesus in the way we're supposed to. And so it's hanging on. We're hanging on, but we're not a healthy branch. And Jesus is saying, hey, the wonderful thing about our relationship with Jesus as opposed to the vine is once the branch becomes damaged, it's extremely hard to repair it, right? Well, but for our relationship with Jesus, we know that we can repair it. And so he's saying, stay connected to me that you may produce good, godly works. And the only way that you're going to do it is by staying connected to me. One of the other things that staying connected to Jesus does is that by staying connected to Jesus, God answers our prayers. Verses 7 and 16, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Now, let me just tell you what this doesn't mean. This doesn't mean that, you're like, praise God. Let me go into my prayer room and I'm going to start praying for that $50 million home on 800 acres or whatever it is. That is not the kind of prayer that he's talking. He's talking about kingdom-minded prayers, okay? That you are praying prayers for the kingdom, that you are praying prayers to build up the kingdom of God. You're building up the church, that you're building up saints. And so these are the kind of prayers that it's talking about, that he's saying, what he's really saying is that you now have access to God. Because we know in the Old Testament, very few people had direct access to God, and they typically were prophets, okay? You see it with Abraham, you see it with Moses, you see it with Elijah and Elisha, right? But most of the time, when people they would pray, God didn't really, there was no direct action. In fact, in the Old Testament, in order to get right with God, you had to go and offer a sacrifice. So you had to go between an intermediary. And now what he's saying is you no longer need an intermediary. And this is what Hebrews says, that there is no longer an intermediary between God and man. That, and he's saying that that person is Jesus. And but who is Jesus? Jesus is the second person of the Trinity, the Godhead. And he's saying, you now have direct access to me through Jesus. And now you don't have to go to a priest. You don't have to wait for a prophet to show up, that you can go to him and that you can pray. You don't have to be in the house of the Lord. You don't have to be sitting in a temple. You could be sitting on the side of the highway, wrecked in an accident. You could be sitting down at your place at work and so praying. You could be sitting in a place of school. You could be a good time or a bad time. You have access to God through prayer. So we stay connected to Jesus and he answers our prayers. By staying connected to Jesus, we are loved by God. Verse 9, it says, just as I have loved, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. But we know, again, Jesus is the second person of the Trinity. So when he loves us, God is loving us, okay? And so, a lot of times we know that God loves all people. We know that God wants to have a relationship with all people. But this is a different kind of love. This is a relational love, that you are in relationship with him, and he transforms you. He renews you. It's like the old hymn says that he walks with me and he talks with me. Some people know about God's love. They may be loved by God, but they're not in that loving relationship where they love God and God loves them, and it transforms them and it renews them and it changes their life. And so they don't get it. They're missing it. Because why? Because they're not connected to Jesus. So here's the thing. Your connection to Jesus has to be your connection. It can't be mama's connection.
Right.
It can't be big mama's connection. Okay. Big mama might pray for you. Big mama's knees might be worn out for you. Okay, she may pray for you and wail for you and wake up in the midnight hour and pray hours, and she may fast for you. Okay, and but her connection to Jesus is not gonna solidify your connection to Jesus. You have to decide to follow Jesus.
Yeah.
You have to make sure that you're connected to him. You have to pursue that relationship. You can't let that relationship be pursued by someone else. Now you can come around the saints and be encouraged. The saints can encourage you. Other believers can build you up and pray for you and encourage you and say, hey, I see this going on in your life. It doesn't look right. Hey, don't do that. That's a bad idea. Come on, let's pray together. They can encourage you. But at the end of the day, your relationship with Jesus is something that you have to choose to do. And then when you choose to do it, you come along other believers and they encourage you and they strengthen you and then they pray for you. But that relationship with Jesus ain't going to happen because of other people. You have to make that decision. Brings us to our second point. We stay connected to Jesus. You know what happens? Jesus' love transforms us.
Yeah.
Jesus' love transforms us. Verse 11 says, Jesus' love fills us with joy. Look what it says here. These things that I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be full in you, and that your joy may be made full. He brings us joy. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. Okay. And a lot of times we say the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we say it in the times when we are going through some of the worst things. When we are down, it feels like life has kicked us and taken advantage of us and it's beating us up. But we know that God is good. We know that he is there for us, that he walks with us. He talks with us. He tabernacles with us, that he dwells with us. And that should give us joy. We don't get joy. We think we used to, okay? The old life, the old way. We used to think we got joy by going out and doing whatever we did, okay? I don't know what all y'all did before you got saved, all right? I don't know what some of you do now for joy. But I know that the joy that Jesus gives is everlasting. Okay? But I also know that that joy that we found in doing some of those things in our pre-Christian life, that joy didn't last. Some of that joy was deceitful, and it was deception. I remember when the AIDS epidemic took off, and they brought this woman in, and she talked to us. And she just said, I thought I was missing something. She said, my daddy was a preacher. She said, my granddaddy was a preacher. She said, if there was a man in my family, he was a preacher. She said, they all had churches. She said, some of them were bishops and they were important men in the church. And she said, I knew how I was supposed to walk with God. And she said, but the world was pulling at me and I thought I was missing something. And she said, so I met a young man. She said, you know the young man. He wasn't a church boy. She said, he was out there doing his thing. And I thought I was missing something. And she said, I went. She said, I had the most wonderful night of my life. She said, I had sex with this young man. And she said, it just changed my world. And she said, I had a glow on my face. People were saying, oh, you must have really start walking with Jesus. She said, oh, you don't know. And she said, you know, and she said, but 6 months later, she said, something wasn't right. And she said, but after that, she said, that young man broke up with me not very long after that. And she said, I was feeling conflicted, but she said, in the time, I thought it was great joy. And she said, but 6 months later, I knew something was wrong. And I went to the doctor. They said, can we take the blood tests? They said, we want to take another sample. She said, I'd only been with one man, and I only had been with him one time. And she said, it was the most joyful night of my life. And she said, come to find out, I had AIDS or HIV. And she said, I just want to tell you, she said, I know I'm in a school assembly. She said, but I want to tell you that God has a different plan for you. And she said, I know you think that you're having all this fun and you're having all this joy. And she said, but a lot of times this joy that you think you're having is going to cause you more pain and more heartache and more trouble in life than you could ever imagine. But I'll tell you what, Jesus' joy isn't like that. Jesus' joy is really joy.
Amen.
And it lasts.
Amen.
Jesus' love transforms us. Because of Jesus' love, we are friends of God. We don't think of that, okay? We read the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul says, hey, I'm a slave of God. I'm a servant of God. The Greek word is doulos. It can be translated as slave. It can be translated as servant, okay? And I know we don't like that language, but Paul uses it. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times we don't think back to what Jesus says here in verse 15. I no longer call you slaves. For a slave does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. So, look at that. He said, I call you friends. Amen. You're just not my disciples. You're not just my followers. You're not just servants. You're not standing on the outside. I've made you part of the family.
Amen.
I have included you into this beautiful thing that I'm doing, how I've intervened in human history, how I am radically transforming the world, how I am changing people's hearts, how I'm changing people's mind, how the shackles of sin and the desperation that they find, I'm changing that, and I am including you in that, and I'm telling you what I am showing you, what the Father has shown me. You are now my friends. There was a song that came out maybe, I don't know, almost 20 years ago. Israel, I'm a friend of God.
Yeah.
Because you are. When you are connected to Jesus and transformed by his love, you become a friend of God. Because of Jesus' love, we can dwell with God. Okay? Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments, abide in his love. Now, last week, we talked about God's empowering presence, right? And we talked about how in the Old Testament, there was a tabernacle and there was a temple. And we know that in the New Testament, that God tabernacles with us. Even in the book of John, chapter 1, it talks about, you know, if you look at it in the Greek, this is that God tabernacles with us. He dwells with us, that he put his presence in our midst. Okay. We know that as a body of believers, that when we come together, that God is in the midst of it, yeah. But his Holy Spirit dwells within our hearts. And so God had comes to dwell with us. And because of that, and that only happens when we are connected to Jesus.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And that love transforms us. Because of Jesus' love, he laid down his life for us. Okay, so everything that's going on in John right now, okay, we've got a couple more chapters to go, but he's almost to the point, he's within just like hours of being arrested here. These are the last words that Jesus is telling his disciples. And so you have all of this teaching that's taking place, and what they haven't figured out that Jesus is going to die yet. And not only is he dying, but he's acting like that perfect lamb sacrifice in the Old Testament. And they haven't figured out that, you know, after he is, you know, beat and put on a cross and died, that he's going to resurrect and he's going to come back to life and he's going to come. But I tell you what, he just didn't come back for the disciples, that one day he's going to come for his church. And he just didn't lay down his life for the disciples. He laid down his life for you, that you can be connected to him, that you can be transformed by him and be a friend to him, and that God can dwell in him because Jesus died for us. Okay? Because Jesus' love, he reveals the Father to us. Verse 15, we've talked about verse 15. Not only does he call us a friend, but one of the reasons he calls us a friend is because he is revealing the Father to him. No longer is the Father a mystery. No longer is the Father a mystery to us. No longer does he not understand. Do we not understand what he's doing? We look in the Old Testament, and you know, Paul says in the Old Testament that we were looking in a mirror and it was dimly lit. See, we misunderstand that verse. See, now we have these beautiful mirrors, and we look in them. We see ourselves exactly how other people see us. But in the first century, they didn't see. They looked in a mirror. What they did is they would take like brass, and they would give it a high polish. And you could see yourself, but you didn't completely see yourself the right way. You could see your shape, but you didn't see some of the finer details. You couldn't see all the lashes on your eye. You couldn't see some of the facial features in you, you could maybe see all the individual hairs on your head, okay? And but what he's saying is, hey, they saw a dimly lit vision of God. You see the correct. You've now put on the right lenses that you get to see the Father. He's been revealed to you. You understand his plan for humanity. And how dare we as Christians, when we know what God is doing, that we know how God loves us, we know how God sets people free, we know how God can set people free from addiction and bondage, and we keep it to ourselves. Because Jesus loved us, he called us. Right. And I know some of this is a little bit out of order. Now, I don't want to get all crazy and, you know, sound like I'm a Calvinist, because I'm not necessarily. I think there's some good things that John Calvin taught, okay? And I'm not saying God called some people, you know, some people for salvation and some people for hell, because there's people out there to teach it. That's not what this is saying. Verse 16, he says, you did not choose me, but I choose you and appointed you that you would go and bear a fruit and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask in the name of the Father and my name, he may give to you. He's saying, hey, just so you know, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I've called you to be in relationship. This relationship that you have with me, it's not something that you decided to do on your own. It's because I called out to you. I called you to be in relationship with you. Why? Because I love you, and I loved you enough to die for you. So I've called you to be in a relationship. He's inviting you into a relationship because he loves you. And a lot of times we think, well, I don't want to be a Christian because the Bible says I can't do X, Y, and Z. Well, the Bible's telling you can't do X, Y, and Z the same way a parent tells a child, don't put your hand in the flame, because they realize when you put your hand in the flame that you're going to get burned. And not only do you get burned, but it could cause permanent damage. It could disfigure. It could cause nerve damage. It will cause great pain. And God is saying, hey, don't do X. Don't do Y, don't do Z, because it can damage you permanently. Just like the young lady who had joy. She had the joy of her life in one night. She found out that joy that she thought she was getting, it damaged her for life.
Right.
Now, praise God. She got right with Jesus. I don't know where she is now. Maybe she went on to glory. Maybe she went to heaven. But she didn't have to experience that, okay? But he calls us because he loves us, okay? He's not calling you as a servant. He calls you because he wants to be your friend. He wants to invite you into the family. He wants you to come home. We were created in God's image and his likeness. We were created to worship him, okay? And a lot of times we think of worship him as like just this the kind of where we're falling down and we're very submitting and stuff, and there's an aspect to it, but worship is we're just acknowledging who God is.
Yeah.
We have no problem calling Michael Jordan the GOAT. We will argue with people, fight with them about he's better than LeBron, he's better than Kobe, but yet we won't give God the praise.
Come on.
Brings us to our third point. Our connection to Jesus and that love that transforms us, we can love one another. We can love one another. Now, a lot of times we don't want to love one another. We see personality quirks in them. We see things that maybe the things that we see are even right. But guess what? You got some personality quirks. Mm-hmm. You got some flaws. You got some things in your life that aren't perfect, okay? Verse 12, I love that. So there's really two sections here, verses 1 through 11, then you have 12 through 17. But I love that the second half, Jesus is talking about the disciples' relationship with one another, and he begins it and ends it with the same thing. This commandment that I have, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Verse 17, this I command you, love one another. Yeah, the point is, Jesus is putting it home. Love one another. Okay? It's interesting. So, You know, you read the first part of chapter 15. He's talking about if you obey your commandments, that you will abide in him. That if you obey his commandments, that you'll know the Father. If you obey his commandments, that you will be called a friend, right? And here, though, it's talking about this broad teaching of Jesus. It's not talking about one thing. But now Jesus becomes very specific. He said, this is the commandment right here. Love one another. Elsewhere, Jesus talked about, they said, Lord, what's the greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself.
Yes.
Look what's, do you see the key in all of that? Love. Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as yourself. We don't love our neighbor as ourselves. We do a lot of things for ourselves we won't do for our neighbor. Okay? But he tells us to love one another because Jesus loves us, okay? Jesus loves us. That is the driver and the determination of how and why we love other people. We don't love other people so we can feel good about ourselves, okay? We don't love other people so we can feel superior or morally righteous. We don't love other people because it's the right thing to do. It is the right thing to do. We should love people, and our love should be driven because Jesus first loved us. And, you know, and that, so it really brings us to this other idea of that. Because of this love that transforms us, that we ought to live a life of sacrifice. He alludes it here. He says, this is a commandment that you love one another just as I have loved you. He died for them, okay? But then he goes on to say, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Again, they haven't figured out that he's about to go to the cross. They haven't figured out that he's about to be arrested. But he's telling them, I am going to the cross for you. Okay? And now am I going to go to the cross? I'm going to die for you. I'm going to take that sin penalty that you deserve. Jesus didn't deserve that sin penalty. Jesus lived a sinless life. Despite what you may hear preachers, there's a well-known preacher down in Atlanta talking about that 85% of Jesus' life, that he wasn't in the will of God. There's nothing in Scripture that says that. No. Stop making stuff up. I don't care if you've got a big church. You're lying to the people of God, okay? You're trying to attract an audience by trying to sound cute. The Bible is relevant because, you know why the Bible is relevant? Because it talks about love.
Yeah.
It talks about freedom. It talks about hope. It talks about redemption. It talks about breaking the chains of bondage. I mean, that speaks to our society. Why do I need to make that any more relevant? But live a life of sacrifice. He's going to die for them. And what he's alluding to them and telling them that if you really want to love one another, that you will follow my example. And that you will lay your life down. And guess what? A lot of disciples did lose their. A lot of their disciples became martyrs. They lost their life for the sake of the gospel. They lost their life not only just following God, but they followed God radically. Why? Because they wanted other people to know the message. They wanted other people to know the transforming love of Jesus. And they went all over the earth. They were beaten. They were crucified. They were tortured. Why? Because they said, I know a God who loves you and wants to redeem you and set you free. So love one another. Because he first loved us.
Yeah.
Brings us to our conclusion. Our big idea, okay? Because Jesus loves us, we can love God and love other people.
Yes.
Because Jesus loves us, we can love God and others.
Yes.
Okay? Here's the thing. Our concept of love outside of Scripture, it's a twisted version of love. We don't know how to love. Our love is selfish. Our love is conditional. God's love is unconditional, okay? Now, walking with him and being in a relationship, there's some conditions that go along with that. But God's love is unconditional. He willingly died for people that he knew were going to reject him, okay? And it wasn't just, you know, Oh, a few people are going to reject me. Millions of people throughout history have rejected him and denied him, and he still went to the cross for them. I'm sorry. I'm not going to go to the cross for you if I know you're going to reject me. He did. Because he loved you so much that he knew that that sacrifice was required for you to be in relationship with him. So the question this morning is, are you connected to Jesus? I can't answer that. Only you can. Are you connected to Jesus? The next question. Are you loving others? Are you loving others the way God has called you to love them? Okay. Are we loving others the way God has called us to love them? Are we loving our spouses the way we're supposed to? Do we love our children the way we're supposed to? Do we love the unlovable the way we're supposed to? Again, only you know the answer to that. But I know this. Because Jesus loves us, we can love God and love others. Why? Because our connection to Jesus changes us. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for what he did to me. I thank you how he died on the cross. How he sent his spirit to live with the Holy Spirit to live within us. We're not alone. And I thank you for everything that he did, Lord. And I think we should all ask for forgiveness when we have not honored you, that we have not always done the thing that you've called us to. We have not loved the way that you've called us to love, God. And Lord, this week that I pray that you would give us clarity in our connection to you. Are we connected to you in the way that we're supposed to? Do we have a good, healthy connection? Is the love of God, is the transformative love of God flowing into our hearts the way that it should, God? Lord, give us clarity on us this week. Lord, help us to be connected. Help us to love others, God. Help us to love others in a way that you've called them to love. Lord, we live in a world of broken-hearted people. We live with people who are hurting, who are in bondage, who are lost, and they're crying out, and they're desiring love. And you are a God who can meet all of those needs beyond their wildest imagination, God. Let us love people. Lord, we thank you. And we praise you. We just ask that you bless us, that you keep us, that you connect us, that you change us, God. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.